Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 7 of Webinars Unfiltered, where we talk about all things webinars, no filter included. So we just give our honest opinion on any questions that we have come through and help to solve them as much as possible. So today we're going to be diving into a common pain point, which is sales demo overload and what to do when your team just can't keep up. But before we get into that, I'm going to introduce our guest speakers today. So Rachel, we have here today, who you've seen before.
Hi, I am Rachel. I am a sales and marketing director here at Workcast. Been here for quite some time now, so I'm hoping I will provide a little bit of helpful insight on this topic.
A little bit. You've been here for a really long time, Rachel. Expect more of you now. And we also have Vicky, who is here for the first time on Webinars Unfiltered. She's our head of customer success. Vicky, do you want to give a little intro for how long you've been here?
Thanks, Natalie. I've been here so many years, I can't even remember. I think it's about 6, I think. Mm-hmm. So I am head of customer success, and I also run the operations team as well. So all of our customers, the support they get, their onboarding, their managed events, it's my team that handle all of that.
Love it. So everyone, as you can see, I've managed to rope in 2 very experienced people here today to help us tackle this question. But before I dive in, just a little bit on demos. How many demos, Rachel, would you say you've done in total? If you had to pick a number just to give some level of experience. Thousands.
Definitely north of 1,000, without a doubt. That might have just been within COVID as well. But no, bit of an exaggeration, but genuinely over the nearly 9 years that I've been at Workcast, I would probably say I have done well over 1,000. Easily.
That is incredible. Yes. And Vicky, you work in our customer success team. How many problems do you think you solve on a daily basis for our, or challenges do you think you encounter to help people solve?
Opportunities
to help. I honestly don't even know. Because it can range from, they mount up because it can range from something really, really small. Mm. To bigger problems that we don't like to see that every so often, but just like lots of questions that people might see as issues. Yeah, thousands.
So you two are very much opportunity seeking and solving bunches, I would say. So with that in mind, we're gonna go straight into the question, I think. So this one has come from a sales leader. It's anonymous, so it could really be anyone, but I'm just gonna read it out for you, so take a minute and digest. So yep. We're a small but growing company, and right now our sales team is spending a huge chunk of their time on product demos. The problem is not all of these leads are high quality, and a lot of them are early stage or just window shopping. Well, that could be a tad annoying, I can see that. We don't have the headcount to keep scaling these calls, and I'm starting to see signs of burnout in the team. How can we automate or streamline our demo process for low intent leads so we're saving our salespeople for the conversations that really count? So that's quite an interesting one, because just as I've mentioned your backgrounds here, and it's why I've got you both on this episode, to be honest. Let's unpack it. Have either of you kind of seen this situation before?
Yes.
Rachel is nodding. Give us some insight, Rachel. Yeah. What are you thinking?
I mean, generally speaking, it's a common problem that occurs frequently, I would say, and we are in the midst of, in fact, if you saw, well, we have another webinar, and we did a live webinar about 2 weeks ago about something similar on how integrations can help with SimuLive and that sort of thing. We absolutely found this, I mean, we experienced this problem, especially during COVID, during the pandemic. It was quite literally an overnight thing when they announced the lockdowns, and the inquiries grew astronomically overnight, to the point where we obviously initially saw it as a great opportunity, and it was still remained as a great opportunity. However, the sales team were not at the size to handle the number of leads coming through. What I would say as well is that when that occurred, because of the way that we do our demos, we obviously, on first initial speaking with clients, we don't want to dive in straight away and annoy them and ask them about their budget straight away. You want to be listening, you want to be consultative on your approach with the demos. So the demos will be great, but I would say 50% of them, right at the end of the call, you would then ask about budget, and it actually wouldn't align with our products. So it became not a waste of time, because each demo is a learning curve, that's for sure. But the issue was is that we were spending a lot of time on these demo calls when actually the people that we were speaking to weren't actually quite qualified to match our product. Mm-hmm. So we needed to quickly change our strategy and our tact to be able to allow them to self-qualify before actually getting to our salespeople for a demo. So we started doing daily webinar demos on our platform as well for people to attend, so they had the opportunity to pre-qualify themselves with our product and platform prior to then actually moving down the funnel and speaking with an actual salesperson to move on to those commercial discussions. I'll not say much more because I feel like I'll ramble and answer further questions. But that gives you an idea of, yes, we have seen the situation before, and we did have to pivot quite quickly to mitigate the issue.
Mm-hmm. I think one kind of key thing to pick up on here, and you mentioned, I think you alluded it to a little bit with talking to a lot of people that were maybe qualified, and it was kind of brought up in their question as well about seeing signs of burnout. Mm-hmm. How much of a problem do both of you think burnout is becoming in the workplace generally? Like, we can talk mm-hmm. about it in sales teams, but I think we probably see it across the board really at the moment, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Fiona, I'll let you take that one.
Yeah. No, I'd say it's a huge problem because obviously I have a fairly big team, so it's something I'm very, very aware of. But even with our customers, mm-hmm. so we see a lot of them are struggling to fill their workload or struggling to meet deadlines with us or with other companies they work with because of the lack of time their team have, or they're very stretched. And I can see that from not being part of their company. So it's, yeah, I'd say it's definitely an issue. There's some definite key signs that you can pick out on that seem so tiny, and it seems like someone's just having a bad day. But I'd say it's a massive issue. The more people you talk to, the bigger the issue seems to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
You picked up back on a little bit there of like kind of little signs that it's there. What would you maybe say are like the early signs of kind of burnout? One you mentioned there was people maybe being a bit snappy or just like not the best moods. You'd never know what's happening in someone else's day.
No. I'd say that they seem a little bit negative,
mm-hmm.
About like more negative than normal. If something mm-hmm. not awful happens, yeah. but something
just a glass half empty.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I'd say that's like a massive sign that they're not really engaged.
Yeah,
as well. No matter what kind of conversations you might have.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'd say there are a couple of signs that I would see. Yeah. Rachel, mm-hmm. is there any from you?
I think from a sales perspective, there's a few things in terms of prior to a demo or prior to just a conversation with a prospective client, it's signs of lack of preparation, lack of eagerness for the call as well, because as a salesperson, there's always opportunity for yourself within these calls. So if the eagerness to get on those calls starts to wane, that's also a sign. What another sign that I would say is that post calls with the clients or the prospective client, sorry, if the salesperson can't really give you a full recap and breakdown of how that conversation went and what the follow-up actions are and what their specific requirements are and just general energy after the call as well, that mm-hmm. is definitely a sign of burnout, because sales teams do have to be creative, they have to be energetic, and if those elements start to wane, then that is a definite sign that something's not right. Mm-hmm. And we've experienced it in the past in peak times with some employees. I'm not going to sit here and say that we've had a perfect team the entire time at Workcast. We absolutely have not. But that's not a reflection on the people. It's just a reflection of how work can be sometimes. So it's just mm-hmm. making sure that you've got the support mm-hmm. to help the team as well.
I think what you both said is so spot on. And I think it's really important that any kind of company catches on to this really quickly, because if it's impacting someone within work, it'll also be impacting them outside of work. Yeah. And then that's impacting their quality of life, how like happy they are, mm-hmm. and surely their friends and family will pick up on this as well. And like that's yeah. the last thing you want as a people focused company yeah. who are focusing on having a happy team. Mm-hmm. So I guess my next question for the whole burnout element of this is, how can you really balance, I guess, being available for prospects and protecting the team, I would say, mm-hmm. to make sure that you are.
Interesting question. I would probably say, depending on the size of your team as well, I'm trying not to speak too much from a workcast perspective, because I know that company teams can be very big from a sales perspective, they can be also very small. What I would do is identify the skills of each of your salespeople. It may be that one of your salespeople is very good at selling at one industry, another person is even better at selling at another industry. So if you hone in on what they specialize in and then separate it out, as opposed to spreading them thinly, say across all markets, mm-hmm. you will probably see that they will be able to refine their skill set even more, and to speak to that industry that they're good at. That means that they're not necessarily reducing their number of leads or demos that they do, but it just means that they're able to refine on what they're good at. It's not good to focus on what people aren't good at, because it'll bring them down, morale will go down, their motivation will go down. Focus on what they're good at and hone in on that. So when it comes to these demo calls, they can focus and have conversations that they're comfortable with, that they're confident with, and that will then help them improve, because naturally they will reap the benefits of those demos. So that's, I could ramble on forever, but I would say that's maybe one of my top tips, is that hone in on what they are good at, because the company will reap the benefits of that as well, and hopefully happiness will increase. So that's what I would say, that's probably my top tip, I would mm-hmm. say. Mm-hmm.
No, I think that's really interesting. I think the more you do something that you're good at, yeah. you will kind of see the positive impacts on it, and hopefully that will alleviate yeah. some stress yeah. and burnout.
Just to allude to the question as well, where it says, how are you available for prospects? Prospects can smell a mile off when you aren't confident or you're unsure on what you're talking about as well, and then that will make them unsure on buying your product as well. So it's just about making sure that you're building the confidence of your team as well as building the confidence of your potential buyers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree. And I think, bring it back to the question as well, so let me just bring it back up. So they were saying that they don't have the headcount to keep scaling, and because they're a startup, it doesn't sound like they can really add to their team anytime soon. So I think that's a really tough situation. So it's like, yeah. what do you do when you have all of this coming in? You have a limited team yeah. and you can't keep piling more and more on. You're saying mm-hmm. they're getting burnt out. Like, what do you do? Yeah. Now, one of the things that we have here at Workcast, which you both know about a lot, and we'll go talk about a little bit, is Simulife. So for this person here, I think if we were consulting them one-on-one to help them with their challenge here, potential opportunity, as Rachel said earlier, we would probably suggest something like Simulife, right? Yeah. And for anyone who's watching who doesn't know what Simulife is, Simulife is essentially a forum of webinar product demo that is pre-recorded, and it can go out at a scheduled time, but it can still include interaction if you want, like Q&A, live polls. But I think it's important here to make the distinction between two different types of Simulive, because people like to use it in yeah. different ways. Yeah. So the first one is 100% scheduled replay. So that's when you pre-record the entire thing and you can let it play out. You don't need to do anything. You can sit there, watch it, or you could go grab a cup of coffee, whatever you want to do. But you could also be in the background answering Q&A if you like. But then there's another version where it's interactive Simulive, and that's where you could maybe have a live intro if you want, then a bit of pre-recorded content, and then you could come back on at the end to do a bit more interaction. But with the person that we're speaking to here via our webinars unfiltered, we would probably suggest something like 100% pure scheduled replay. Mm-hmm. So I guess my question to both of you, if we're looking at it within this context of this question, why would both of you think that scheduled replay as a form of Simulife would be a good fit for them to help them out with their challenge at the moment of too many demos, not enough people, burnout? Mm-hmm. What do we think?
I would say that it allows you to initially churn out recorded videos talking about the product in a way that you know will sell. But when I say that, I don't mean you're just talking at the camera about your product. You're talking about it in line with who you're speaking to. And by that, I mean, and it is alluding to what I've said previously about honing in on different industries, it is going to allow you to record demos that are targeted to specific industries. You may target one industry, you may target five. But if you keep those demos to industry specific, targeted to specific industries, then what that will do is it will shorten down the demos, which means you could, if you just recorded one demo, you would want to cover off points across all different industries. And that demo is going to be really long. People are going to watch it. They're going to tune out because you're not speaking to what their needs are. So if you do shorter, more specific demos, that will allow you to target them more smarter. What that will also then allow you to do is schedule them to either go out daily or bi-weekly or weekly. It's completely up to you. But unless there's obviously an update, a really key update to the product that you're selling or the service, it will allow you to then repeat that webinar each week or however often you want to repeat that. Even you also maybe need to take into consideration time zones as well. So you may do multiple across a day. But that is what I would say in a without, again, rambling, because I have a tendency to do that if you've had a previous webinar. That helps you hold in on. Initially, yes, you need to record them. That is a little bit of time and resource that you need to spend. However, you will make up for it because you will make sure that you are answering the questions directly and very targeted at the top of the funnel start of exploration of your prospects. And then that allows them to qualify themselves. And then if you do want to continue and go into more commercial conversations, that again utilizes your sales team's time way better because they know that the quality of the leads are going to be higher and the conversation quality is going to be higher as well.
I want to pick up on something you said about time zones, Rachel. Like, you're totally right about you can have multiple a day. I would probably ask that people kind of check where they're kind of selling to the most or where their targets are of who they're trying to sell to, and try and aim for them at a time of day for different time zones that are appropriate, that someone could watch a really short demo. So you're not going to watch one at 9 a.m. of your working day, for instance. That's not going to appeal. You've got emails to check, things to do. But you might watch one while you're eating a sandwich at lunch, or you might watch one near the end of the day. I would also probably schedule them maybe on the hour, try not to run over time, things like that. Need kind of thought of, because people kind of set their calendars to like half hour intervals. Fit in someone's day so they can quickly kind of be like, oh, I'll just watch this in the background. And then try and make it as short and engaging as possible.
And I think time and teaming that with obviously making them niche will definitely work. We're talking about, and I know we're answering this specific question, but this is applicable to any webinar as well, whether it be thought leadership, whether it be knowledge share and educational, as long as you utilize that in a way that works for you, 100% would work. And I think because SimuLive and Scheduled Replay are live events still, you can then still create the on-demand recording for these people too. So one of the really good things about SimuLive and Scheduled Replay is that you're still holding people accountable at a time and a date, which creates urgency around the event as well. But again, you don't want them to panic and think they've missed it completely, because you can have the backup of the fact that they can then be sent the recording afterwards as well if they do miss it. So it's the best of both worlds. And it just means that right from the beginning, you're providing a recording that is of value and what they want to watch, but their experience with you along that journey is really good as well. The customer journey. So that's a reflection on you as a company and the service that you can provide. So yes.
Sorry. Love it. I swear you've said ramble like five times so far. I'm gonna start keeping count. I'm gonna have a little like scorecard.
Technically it's the only thing you're rambling about.
So what you both said makes total sense, right? But have you ever had someone come back? Because I can imagine people watching this and being like, okay, I can understand why you'd record it and like set it as like a lifetime. People can go back and watch it whenever they want if they miss it live. Someone might say, though, why can't you just record a video and email it to them?
Mm-hmm.
What would be the argument for not doing
that? Yeah, I get it. I think it's picking up on a point Rachel's already said is because it's got a scheduled live time, it's in someone's calendar.
Yeah.
You know, you can add it to your calendar. You have reminder emails to remind you to go to that session. Mm-hmm. If you say, oh, I'll watch that, it just will go further and further down your to-do list. We know what, you know, the working day is like. We know what that's like. Yeah. But if it's a specific time, and I think there's ways that you can bring value to your recorded content that will make it so that they would miss out if they didn't turn up live. Mm-hmm. So with our Q&A feature, you can have that on. You can sit, you or someone on your team can sit in the background of that webinar. You don't have to press broadcast or anything if it's a Simulive scheduled replay, but you can reply back to some questions. You can turn some questions public or have a full public chat to kind of pull some of the questions to the forefront that you've been asked frequently so that people can see that you're live in the Q&A. So there's different things that you can kind of do. I'd say polls is maybe a good point as well. Yeah. You can add polls to specific timestamps of your recorded media. And I would maybe put in some, you know, market and sales based questions of whether they want to be followed up with. That means you've got straight data of whether that is
definitely
a lead that you really should follow up with, and that can pass straight to your team.
I think it's psychological as well, because if someone asks for a recording to just be sent through on email, you can actually just hyperlink to the webinar as well. So you can hyperlink to the webinar registration form, which means you're still collecting the data. If they are absolutely intent on just having an on-demand webinar, then you can send them the on-demand recording of a previously ran event. So again, they just hit the registration page, they register, and then they can watch the webinar that way. By doing that, you obviously still get their data. You can see the reporting and stats, like you've just mentioned, Vicky. You can see what they, how long they watched the webinar for, what resources they're clicking on. So again, you can get a bit a better idea of their persona as a buyer. So yeah, it's just leaning into psychology as well. If people are wanting to record, and perfect, but be smart about how you do it, because you can send them a link to previous webinars as well.
I think as well, with what you're both saying, it's definitely providing more of a immersive experience that you can present as a brand, rather than being like, here's a link in an email, have a little watch. You're providing an experience that lets them know you a little bit more, and I think it probably shows that you've put in a bit more effort.
And like, I think even Natalie, you'll have experience of this, is when you do littler recordings that are sent in emails, it's when you're further down the line in a conversation, when they're further down the funnel, when they're almost a purchasing point, and they're really wanting to see something specific, a specific feature in action, a specific functionality, that's when you can get more specific, and the sales team will have more time to record a 1, 2, or 3 minute video on that specific feature. That's probably more appropriate to send in an email, as opposed to obviously making a big webinar about it. But again, it's circumstantial, but that's probably the most appropriate time to send something like that in an email.
No, I agree. And I think that if you're doing it this way, I think one of the key things that I think you've both touched on is the stats that you get alongside it. Don't get that in an email. You might get the open rate, which is a bit useful, but apart from that, you're not really going to get much from it. Perfect. Okay. So I think, Vicky, I'm going to go over to you now, because the next kind of section I want to look at is just how would this work in the real world? Like, if someone wanted to put something like this in place, sorry, I'm recovering from a cold, everyone. So that is why. How would they implement this if this is something they want to do? So I'm aware that you were working on a little project.
So we already have customers that do this, but we're working on a kind of project to make this easier for customers, so that we can kind of offer this as something that we can, that customers can just purchase with us, or a way that we can guide customers to do it better. But like I said, existing customers do this. So the process is virtually the same. You could just record your media, and you can do this in our platform, outside our platform. If it's outside our platform, it just needs to hit our media requirements. Upload it to our platform, and then just create an event. So it doesn't have to be a big, complicated event.
Yeah.
You don't have to put too much detail into it, but details about your presenters, what it's about, and then you can market that however you want. I would probably recommend using our referrer codes.
Yeah.
When you're marketing that registration page, so you can monitor a little bit more with the data to where those registrations are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say that's probably really, really useful. You set it up as a Simulive scheduled replay and add your media, and essentially it's easy as anything, at the exact time and date that you have set it up as, the media will play out to your audience. That's it. Your main thing here is to get people to watch it. So your marketing of this, or how you share it, is probably the most important thing, and apart from getting your media right. But what we're kind of working on is a bigger integration. So we're starting with HubSpot, but we're hoping we can do this with different CRMs and web pages, where HubSpot can see which events demos you have coming up and can automatically create the boxes for them on a HubSpot page, so that you can just share that demo page. They can choose what kind of demo is right for them, choose which one they can make it to, and that's it. And then it's hopefully is really makes it as easy as possible. To go back to the original question, to really take some of that time and energy away. And even our original Simulive, to be honest, if you make sure that your media's right for what you want, add some of those kind of small interactive ways with the Q&A polls, to get the data you want, add resources, like Rachel's on about as well.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry, have that. I find some people worry about clicking that broadcast, and it adds to their stress about running a webinar. Yeah. Like, what are we going to cover? You can reuse media. Mm-hmm. I mean, that takes some of the stress away automatically, I feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
I think as well, like, just what you've talked through there, I think, and I'm going to ask a question about it, but just lead up to it. Do you ever find that if someone says that, kind of like this person here, I want to make this demo process easier, but like just... how do I find the time to put into it initially to get this up and running? Because I think that could be a huge kind of mental block of like, we're already running at 110%. Mm-hmm. How do we carve out this time to do this? But with the process you've kind of like talked about there, like whatever kind of provider, because I do want this to be useful information, whoever product you're using, it just kind of sounds like get your content nailed. Once you've done that, you're kind of golden, and then it's a case of setting up and your platform, whoever you're using, and there's market.
One thing that I would recommend to allude to what you've just said, Natalie, is if you are really stuck for time on prepping for these recordings, maybe record one of your demos that you do, record it and or get the transcript from it, ChatGPT it, get it to create a script for you, and then that's the script done. And that again can be niche to an industry, so you could record a demo that you do already with a prospect across all industries, get the transcripts, get it into ChatGPT, get the script from it, and essentially it would just be like doing another prospective demo with someone, which is just nobody on the other end of it. So at least you've got your script, you know the resources that you need in terms of examples to show features and functionalities to talk about the services that you offer, because I'm very conscious that we are dipping in and out between products and services here. I think sometimes, and even I've been guilty of it in the past, you see it as such a mammoth project when actually you do it on a daily basis anyway. So utilize those resources that you've got, and it will not take up much more than not even half a day to do, really. Unless you want to tweak it, do some edits, etc., it'll be fine. And you want to make sure that these demos sound human as well. You don't want them to sound too polished and too salesy, because we know that people buy from people. They don't want to be talked at. They want to be listened to. So just bear that in mind as well when you're doing the recordings, I would say.
One thing I want to pick up on that you just said there, people buy from people. Because when you mentioned ChatGPT there, yeah, I just had a little thought about, and we've all kind of seen AI kind of come in and out of sales and marketing at the moment. What do you think about people who are using AI to generate their scripts and have like the AI people on the screen to do their demos? Do you think that would be less successful because it's not a person?
It depends on what you feed AI. Mm-hmm. If you are asking AI to do that from start to finish, then not good, because you're not telling it the what's the word I'm looking for want of a better cheesy way of putting it, it doesn't know the golden nuggets of your products or services that sell to your targeted clients. You need to give it context. You need to give it a broader picture. So I think that's why using something like a transcript fed into AI would work. Again, though, that's not me saying don't do that, because if you are really even a one-man band, we fully appreciate that it's really hard to get this sort of stuff up and running. And if you want to do that, then perfect. You can tweak it over time, do that. But what I would definitely say is make sure that you base what AI says or what AI produces on the information that you know works. Otherwise, you'll just sound a little bit generic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And another point there that I think we'll all agree with is very much that you can change it over time. If yes, you set something up really quickly, mm-hmm, like I said, we've not had a lot of time, just need to get something out there,
yeah,
change it, you can see what works, what doesn't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a set it and then you leave, yeah, it for years. Oh God, yes, please don't do that. No one do that, please, because that would be horrific. We will find you and tell you to take your demos down. I'm joking. You wouldn't actually do that. But yeah, I think that's a really important thing.
Yeah.
And I think we use that in all of our work, actually. It's just a... Mm-hmm. Rip the band-aid off. I sound very American there, Rick. Rip the plaster off and get going, have a go at it, yeah, and just change it as you go.
Well, sorry, Natalie. I was just going to say, like, you're completely right. If it's not working or there's tweaks to it, or you get feedback, or you watch it back and go, actually, I want to change that, yeah, and you're not sure, then nothing's stopping you from having two versions of the media and running them on different days, for, yeah, instance, exactly, and looking at the data and seeing what works.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's stopping you from doing that.
I feel so inspired. Did you think nothing's stopping you? I can't stop smiling at that. That's really some joy. I need it in front of me somewhere. I'm going to do that later. I love it. I love it. I actually think that's a really good way to like wrap this up and move on to our final section of,
yeah,
key takeaways. So just as a reminder, let's go back to the question. I'm not going to read it all again, but small company, startup, sales team using a huge chunk of their time to do, mm-hmm, product demos, too many demos, not enough people. If you had to pick one or two things to say to this person, what would they be as your key takeaways?
Target your videos. Make them short but precise and concise. And be personal in it. Don't sound robotic. Just be yourself.
Love it. I was waiting for you to say ramble again at the end. Not gonna. Vicky, what would be your one or two or three?
Yeah. You don't have to get it right first time.
Mm-hmm.
Experiment with videos, time zones, timings. You can make mistakes. That's fine. And then use your data.
Yeah.
Gather your data and look at your data, mm-hmm, because Sorry if you can hear, there's a house with, they're getting work done across. I don't know if you can hear that. But gather your data and look at your data, because to save time, to figure out what leads are actually going to be worth those conversations. They're the people that are asking you questions on your Simulive scheduled replay. They're the persons answering, people answering your polls. They're the people wanting to be followed up with. So use it.
Yeah, I agree.
Love it. And for me, what would my one be? Generic, just do it. Just get going, rip the band-aid off, carve out the time to do it. Stop making excuses.
Yeah. And the one thing I would say is if you have a CRM system in place, make sure the webinars integrate with your CRM system, because that's the last final key to the process in making it all streamlined and allowing your salespeople to pick it up.
Yeah. And if you don't have that and you're with us and for your webinars, reach out and we can help with that to take that a little bit easier for you.
Yes. Love it.
And if you're not with us, get with us.
Thank you. We need to do it now. We do it at the end. If Rachel doesn't let me kind of copy at the end, I'm not even joking. Watch the previous ones, you'll see. Perfect. Okay. Well, thank you both for joining me for our Webinars Unfiltered episode 7. I can't believe it's episode 7 that we're wrapping up here, to be honest. But I'm excited to see what we do for episode 8. Thank you all for joining us.
Awesome. Thanks, Natalie. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Natalie. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.